I'm with Robin Cappy. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Serge.
So, you're a focuser, a therapist, and an artist?
Yes, I'm all of those things. let's see, where shall I start now? I came to focusing through Lynn Preston, who's also a therapist and an artist. And I guess what I'd most want to say about that is thank you to Lynn. She brought me to, she invited me to join the Institute and become part of one of the first trainings for psychotherapists. And then I was involved in that and doing my work as a therapist. And then about 5 years ago, I came back to art. It was something I had done in my early years, my early adult years, and as a child as well. And I've been very involved since with both, both passions and both arts, psychotherapy and drawing and painting. Where I'm a bit different from Lynn is that Lynn works abstractly, very richly and beautifully in an abstract world of color and various materials. Where I am a little different, I've been very interested in learning to draw realistically, which calls upon both my skills and my felt sense. And I can say more about that. Did you have... I could talk a bit about this thing I've been thinking a lot about, which has to do with observing.
Observing, yeah.
Observing, yeah. There's two parts to it as an artist, and also there's something as a focuser.
So I just want to maybe say the observing is in contrast, say, to abstract work, where it's all about the expression. But observing is that dialogue with the outside and rendering it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so something about that, though. You know, abstraction is in everything I look at. I see it more and more the more I've developed my skill as an artist. I want to relate this to focusing a bit more and to say that the more I observe and the more I have a sort of broader awareness of the visual world around me, it exponentially expands my consciousness. My world as a felt sensor has expanded tremendously from being so in tune with what I'm seeing. I've always been very visually oriented, but the more I've developed my work both as an artist and as a focuser, those two things, that visual observing and that felt sensing, are essential parts of the whole experience of being an artist.
Yeah, so you're talking about things like felt sensing, being in tune with what you're observing. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Okay. Well, for one thing, I've been really developing my skill in terms of, you know, drawing realistically. And, so there's this whole thing that's about, as a realistic artist, about understanding the way light hits a form, understanding how to get my hand to have the correct eye-hand coordination, having the correct proportions of what I'm looking at. So there's all that. And then there's just the myriad of associations to everything I see that's embedded in the work. So if I'm drawing something as simple as an egg, at the same time, there's a whole richness of experience. I'm drawing this egg, but I'm also at this moment in my life, and I'm experiencing everything, that all the complexities of the situations in my life. And embedded in that egg, looks like a simple drawing of an egg, is the wealth of that experience, which sounds a little odd, but I'll give you for instance, one time I was drawing something, and I put it aside. And I came back to it months later and put my pen to the paper. And as soon as I picked up that pen, it was like everything was transmitted back. And it was like the whole world of where I had been those months before, the thoughts I was thinking, everything was within that experience with that drawing.
Wow.
I I hope that doesn't sound too odd.
Well, but it feels like a great a sense of something that was containing everything in an implicit way. Just the whole process was there. Whereas maybe if you had made a few sentences about it, it may not have been as capturing as much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess, what's his name? Eckhart Tolle, I think that's how you pronounce his name, talked about the now. You know, when you're drawing or you're painting, or even when I'm in session with a client and I'm fully present, it's like being in a living moment. When I'm drawing something, at first when I started to draw, I drew what I thought was there. We have all sorts of associations to what we think we're seeing. So a beginner will draw a typical almond shape for an eye, because we draw what we think we see. And so we're making assumptions all the time about what we're seeing based on our past experience. So now because I've developed a bit of skill, when I see an eye, I see its uniqueness. I see every little tiny form and shape shift. And an eye is very complex. It's not just an almond shape. It's holding a whole world in the sphere of that eye. And so as I've learned to draw what I see rather than what I think I see, I've also, in parallel as a therapist, learned to listen and hear what is in something rather than what I'm assuming I'm hearing. I'm wanting somehow in this talk to draw a parallel between the two passions of mine, because I do think psychotherapy is an art as well, and I see metaphor all the time, parallel experience between being an artist and being a psychotherapist.
So you're talking about seeing what you really see as opposed to what you assume you see.
Exactly. And inquiring further, observing further, listening further, so I can, you know, we all have our unique filters of experience, and so if we can take those unique filters and expand them so that we can really take in freshly what we're seeing or what we're hearing, it's a lot to navigate, but that's the richness of experience, really being in a moment and taking in all there is to see in that moment and describing it in a way that really describes what someone's saying, the essence, the wholeness of what someone's saying or what I'm seeing. Is that too far out to draw that parallel?
No, that feels very powerful. It's about that sense of being more and more aware of the filters of your experience and being aware to deal with that so that they don't prevent you from seeing what is really happening at the moment.
That's right. Because, you know, words are not fixed. Someone's talking to me, they don't have like a meaning that's concretized in time. There's a richness of it. And, oftentimes when a beginning artist will look at something, they see a fixed image and they assume a lot about it. But as you grow as an artist, you start to observe more and more nuances and richness, and the same as a therapist.
Yeah. So that the key word is not assuming, but actually that invitation to an increasing dialogue, increasing observation.
Yes. One phrase I came up with is observing at the edge.
Wow.
Based on gender. There's this edge, and there's all sorts of edges, but how to become intimately involved with what's in there, both when I'm an artist and when I'm working with somebody. It's like touching. It's very similar to touching. There's an artist that there's a video of on the web, and his name is Armagan, and he's blind, and he sees more with his fingers than we see, because he holds something, he touches something, and it's what he feels, what is felt, that transmits, and he draws it on paper. And he's blind. He's blind.
Yeah. So what strikes me as you talk is that sense of really observing as a process, and observing as something that's that deepening connection, that sense of involving more and more.
Yes. There's also as I'm now, Matt, you can't hear me. I'm in free floating creativity.
Great.
It reminds me of The Botany of Desire. Did you ever read that book?
No.
Polin is his name, or Palin? I forget the guy's name who wrote it. Sorry about that. But The Botany of Desire is about how plants kind of form us. They are so beautiful that, like, a flower is so beautiful that it causes us to care for it and to propagate it. So our desire for that beauty of that plant is, I think if I have it right, the premise of the book is that the plant calls upon us and forms us to be its caretaker. And you know, it's kind of like, what are we? If I'm drawing, am I drawing the thing, or is it calling upon me to bring it out?
Yeah, yeah. So that the beauty, the thing, is something that draws on you to bring it out.
Yeah. And that's true with, you know, again, there's that parallel with therapy. That there's something in someone in my office that calls upon me to bring it out. So, you know, we're talking about two very complex things, psychotherapy and art making. But, you know, I can't help but I feel the process to be so much the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a process where you're drawn by what you see, and it's a mixture of actually letting go of your filters, but also drawing you in more to observe, to get to really what is, and be in a dance with it in the moment.
Yes. And also to appreciate the complexity. You know, we you know, particularly as a beginning therapist, I had a tendency to want to fix things, you know, to kind of jump in there right away and come up with a solution. But, you know, now I understand, because I've been doing this a long time, that this is a complex world to navigate, and experience is not to be, simplified. We're navigating a lot, both in ourselves and in relationship to others. And I'm trying to kind of not lose my parallel to art, which is that we navigate a lot visually in this world. We go out onto the street. Here I am in New York City, you know, bombarded with information. We're navigating space and shapes and tensions between people and perspective of what's closer, what's far away, and contrasts and edges. And I could go on and on about all the things we're seeing when we're it's unconscious. If we were aware of it all, we'd be overwhelmed. But we're taking in so much information visually, and each of those little bits of information. We could, if we were to unpack it, we'd find we had a felt sense about pretty much everything. And so, you know, if we come into a psychotherapy session and we have an experience of loss, for instance, I guess what I'm trying to say is that now, with all my wealth of experience, I understand the nuances and the depth and the parts so much more. Than just simplifying it to the point in order to make a quick difference. It's more about observing, listening, unwrapping, exploring, and it goes on and on. It's an
So really a sense of that, the tendency to go quickly and try and solve the problem, fix it, is really not something that's as productive as a sense of observing, understanding the complexity of experience, and unpacking it and making more space in it.
Yes, making meaning, finding the meaning in it.
Finding the meaning in it, yeah, and so that would work both for psychotherapy and for art.
Yes, yes. You know, my first experience of focusing, my first real experience of focusing was with Mary Genlin. I was in, I think, the intro to our psychotherapy seminar, and I was the demo. She was my listener, and she listened so exquisitely to what was happening inside of me. And I felt that she touched parts of me that had never been seen or touched before, that had been hidden away very deeply inside of me. And that experience, I think, has directed me ever since, because I yearn for experiences like that, of having that sense of being seen, being known, of meaning coming up and out. And I think a lot of people come to psychotherapy seeking that sense of being touched in places that are deep and nuanced, and as a beginner, I missed a lot of those moments. I'm sure I missed a lot of those moments now too, but I'm much more keenly aware of the depth of experience.
Yeah. So you have your own experience of how amazing it is to feel seen, to feel touched in parts that have never been touched before, and the value of doing that as a therapist for your clients.
Yeah.
Seeing them, really seeing them.
That's true nurturing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's nurturing to be seen, to be known, to be experienced, expressed. And you know, there's something nurturing that probably comes through my eyes, both as a therapist and as an artist.
Yeah. So that experience that actually seeing and getting into this process of seeing is something that is very nurturing.
Yes. Yes. I'm checking inside to see if there's anything else that I feel essential to say about any of this. I'm also very interested in sleep process and dreaming. If you know, Susan Rudnick and I have our thing we call Rest Well Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We help people with sleep, and more than that, we help people learn to rest more often and more deeply in their lives. And so I guess I could draw parallels to that as well, but, you know, just to stay with the dreaming part, you know, that our dreams are we often jump out of bed, we don't spend time with our dreams. And however, in our dreams, is everything I'm talking about. It's the wealth of our experience expressed in a different language. And, in our waking life, we have our rote ways, or useful and rote ways of expressing ourselves and putting language to our experience. In our dreams, that's all done through symbology. And I'm touching on meaning. You know, that meaning is embedded in that symbology in a dream. I sense that in what I'm looking at when I'm drawing, and I sense that in a client, particularly, of course, when they're talking about a dream, but, you know, that this complexity of symbolic, a whole symbolic world that exists beyond words. I've been interested in dreams for a long, long time.
Yeah.
There's also parallels I could draw there to art. So I feel like maybe I'm going off on a creative binge.
Yeah. No, so that chills a sense of, you know, that at this moment you're associating all these different activities, and it feels very beautiful because I'm talking with Robin and not, say, just a therapist or a focuser or an artist or somebody who's interested in dreams. And what's coming up is, the many different areas where you have, strong interests and have found some connections. And something about, what I'm hearing is that sense of awe about complexity and of wanting to unpack and observe that complexity in a process is what's coming through to me very, very strongly as we talk.
Oh, thank you for that beautiful reflection. That was really nice. So, that's me.
Yeah, and so one of the things that you are passionate about is what you call visual experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Janet Funder and I developed a workshop called Visual Experiencing, and what we wanted to do with that is to bring people together to be engaged in observing and noticing what they experience by observing in usual and unusual ways. And at some point, we still want to do a workshop where we take people on a walk through New York City to notice how what we see impacts us, because it impacts us all day long. It's a really exciting thing, to go out and really take time to become more and more aware of what you're observing and engaging with it differently. It's like, if you enter one room, you feel there's a whole world of senses. But if you enter a different room, it's a whole different world of senses. And if you just take time to notice them, it's beautiful. There's so much there.
Could we do a little experiment maybe, and with that spirit in mind, look around where you are, and maybe if you feel like it, share with us what comes up for you.
Oh, that's an interesting experiment. Just give me a second. Well, I'm sitting here in the kitchen of the apartment that I've been living in for the last year and a half, and it's an unusual place for me to sit because there's construction going on outside. So I'm sitting in a seat that I never sit in the home I live in. So I really did have a whole different experience where normally I'd want to sit in places that I feel most comfortable in the living room or even lying on the bed where I feel I can be completely relaxed. But here I'm sitting in my own home, but in a seat that maybe I've sat in once before. So it is a different experience.
Yeah.
I'm seeing things from a different perspective that I see every day, that are familiar to me every day, but I'm seeing them from a different perspective. So I'm seeing the beauty of this vase that we keep on the windowsill that I normally only glance by, but now I'm staring at it with the light coming through it. So there's a sense of the excitement of that light and the beauty of the color of this vase that my friend made. And that actually I was talking about before when I'm drawing and how something comes through in my drawing. That experience of sitting here, yes, I'm nervous to be talking on the phone and being recorded, but at the same time there's a sense of the beauty of that vase that maybe comes through to somebody who's listening.
So the experience as a listener is we're hearing some noises, beyond the conversation. And now we have a little context, is there's work in your apartment. And then there's some nervousness in your voice about being recorded and talking. But there is also now the presence of the unusual perspective on this vase that you now have a chance to see, and a beautiful light on it, and that feels really nice to share that.
You know, just taking that moment to notice that vase and to speak about it was grounding for me. I suddenly felt less nervous. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe, you know, if you want to continue just looking, being in the space and looking and sharing what you're experiencing as you do that.
Well, so there's a whole sense of this moment with you, that you're here with me, even though you're not in the room, a sense of you being there, which is different than if I was just sitting here in this visual space. I could start to observe what's outside of me and say a lot about that, but I'm going to close my eyes. Closing my eyes, so I can have a sense of not having so much information coming in. And when I close my eyes, it's a very different experience. You know, here I close my eyes, I don't have all the associations to everything in the room around me, and I can be much more attuned to my felt sense and background emotions, because this isn't a focusing session, I don't want to say too much more, because I'm very quick to that. I can go right in and I can start really, really focus, which I love. And then, but in terms of this, if I open my eyes again, I'm bombarded with felt senses about everything I'm seeing. I see some of my art on the wall, and there's felt sense about each and every. I have four different landscape paintings on the wall here, and each one brings a different sense of that, of the moment I painted those. And then there's the activities of my life around the room, you know, whether it's dishes and food and, you know, each of these things I could say a whole lot about, right? I'm sure anyone could. You sit in a room and you look around you, you'd have stories to tell or felt senses to speak of about pretty much everything in front of you.
Yeah, so you're sharing that sense of, you know, first closing your eyes to go in, and that sense that as you open them, of feeling bombarded with stuff, you know, that is stories, is felt senses. So I'm having that strong sense of the difference between closing your eyes and having, you know, some space, and then feeling bombarded, not necessarily in a negative way, but feeling bombarded.
Yes. You know, of course, if I was not looking to see what's around me because we're engaged in a talk about observing, I would filter that out. I might be more connected to just what's going on inside, and then even if I open my eyes, I'd be in that altered state of being more closely attuned to my inner world than my outer world.
Yeah.
But the beauty of visual experiencing is taking the time to really observe certain things in your environment.
Yeah, yeah. Not automatically filtering out and tuning out.
Yeah. Yeah, so really gazing.
So what happens actually as you have that sense of being bombarded? Do you have that thing? Do you make a choice? Do you do you have a felt sense of overwhelm? What's it like to?
Well, you know, like right now I said bombarded. That's a big word. I'm not sure if that's too big a word, really.
But, yeah.
But, you know, at the moment I'm kind of taking everything in this room that I'm in, and there's a lot in the room. But if I was going to be doing something like a visual experiencing process, I would choose one aspect of mine, and I'd use my felt sense to direct me of what is it that I want to spend time with and really be with. And so just now I was asking that question out loud, and my eyes landed on one of my landscape paintings. And as soon as I look just at, I'm gazing at just that one painting, it's like there's a whole world that opens up. That has just to do with my relationship to that painting in this moment.
Yeah, yeah. So there, again, that little step that there's so much to do, but you have the, you know, moment of going inside, asking your felt sense where to focus on, and you're directed to that painting, and then so much comes up around it.
Yes. So you know, you can imagine if you know you're observing one aspect of your life, or one moment, or one relationship. And this is the beauty of focusing, and you really have time to spend with it, and to really be with all those different nuances, and choose the ones that are most important to spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
And then inevitably, but not always, you can put the two together. There's going to be a shift in your relationship to that thing. You know, it's like what happened when Mary was listening to me. It was like, you know, this just this sense of something just really shifting in to its right place.
Yeah, that sense of something shifting into its right place.
Yeah. Like we skip over things so much in our lives. We don't for all sorts of reasons. I remember I had a dog when I was a kid, and or my sister had a dog, I should say, and she moved to Japan, and had to leave the dog there because it had been nipping at my newborn nephew. So she left the dog there, and I never got to see the dog again. And no one realized how close I was to that dog, and neither did I. I became an adult, and I started talking about the dog in a therapy session, and oh my God, I started sobbing. I couldn't believe the depth of grief for losing that dog, but I had skipped over it my whole life. I didn't realize, you know, and we have that, all of those experiences, they're still there in our bodies.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's, I feel like I've said a lot.
And yeah, and actually we're at the what would normally be the end of the conversation. So maybe that feels like a good place to end.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. This has been a terrific experience.
Thanks, Robin.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.